Okay, folks, we're going to start the recognition part of the meeting, and we're going to turn this over to Dr. Perarmo.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this brand new, lovely school board room. We have some patiently waiting students in the back who actually worked on this room under a lead supervisor in our district. However, we're going to do our school awards first and then move into the boardroom recognition as well as our staff who are retiring this year. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome you to the 2012 awards ceremony. It's the last ceremony for this year to honor our excellent students and their achievements throughout the year. The board president, Mr. Dunleavy, myself, and the vice president, Sarah Welton, will come down and announce the names and kind of the specialty. We know that not all the students could make it this evening. It's summer. And so I am going to say their names anyway. I think their name needs to be said so we can all recognize them. But we'll do that, and as we call your name in the different groups, if you could just come forward, we'll take a picture up front. So without further ado, let's go down there. Yeah. We've really been in the boardroom at Palmer High for over 10 years, and so this is new to us and awkward, so sorry if we stumble through the sound and things like that. So once again, welcome. My name is Dr. Dina Perarmo, and I, like I said, it's Mr. Dunleavy, our board president, Ms. Welton, our vice president, as well as Jean Stone, the director or the assistant superintendent for instruction. And the first award we'd like to give and to recognize these students is from the Science Alaska Statewide Science Olympiad Competition. For the past 28 years, Science Olympiad has led a revolution in science education. What began as a grassroots assembly of science teachers is now one of the most premier science competitions in the nation, providing rigorous standards based challenges for students to accomplish. Nearly 6,400 students, or actually 6,400 teams from all 50 states competed in one way or another this year. Teeland Middle School took first place in the state of Alaska, and I'd like them to come forward if they would. Teeland Middle School Science Olympiad team. And in fact, do you want me to read their names off? All right. Not all the team could be here this evening, but a special recognition about, we have a sponsor, Ms. Ryan and Rhett Buchanan, and they have taken students, I believe, where'd you compete this year? In Orlando. So once they won the state competition, they raised funds to go to Orlando. One of the specialties about Teeland is that they have won for the last 10 years in a row. Is that correct? There you go. Maybe 11. It's 2012. I think they've been winning since 2001, since the school opened. So you might have 11 years under your belt. So with that, I just want to say that these students competed in all different kinds of events at our local level here in the Valley, and then they moved to the state competition in Anchorage and then on to Orlando. And so they came back with lots of skills, lots of experiences, so that they can compete in the future in science. So congratulations, first place winners, Teeland Middle School. Not everybody's there. I'm going to ask Teeland to stay, but I also like our district to recognize our high school winners. We in MATSU do well in science. So please come forward, the first place high school winners, Colony High School, if you're here, any students. We knew that some of them had to work. Any students from Colony High? Colony High's team is, I believe, about under 10 students. They also took first place in the competition and went to nationals. We also have this other great award, and if any students from Career Tech are here, I just want to announce that Career Tech won the most spirited award at the competition. Any Career Tech kids who are on Science O? There you go, come on up. We do have certificates for all the students, and we'll give for the students that aren't present today, we'll be sure to give them their award. And since we did have some students come, would you like to state your name and your competition? Really loud.
I'm Carmen Soto, and I competed in 4 events. I competed in bottle rockets, crime busters, food science, and water quality.
I'm Taya Fagersham. I competed in 3 events. I did Rose Scholar, experimental design, and something else.
I'm Ben Kappa, and I competed in Oceanographers, Dynamic Planet, Reach for the Stars, and Ride a Doom.
All right. Thank you very much, and congratulations. Oh, from Career Tech, go ahead and give it a go. All right. And Career Technical High School and Colony High School compete year after year to see the winner. But I think Career Tech won last year and Colony won this year. So congratulations. Thank you very much. Oh, can we get one more picture with you? Mr. Dunleavy and... Some kids could stand up if you want on that back ledge, and then we can move in. You want to stand up there, Miss Ryan? Go ahead. Just there you go, and then we can move over. There you go. All right. Thank you very much. The next award is for the Alaska Geographic B second place finisher. Is student Tyler Kelly from Twinley Bridge present? Tyler, please come forward. All right, this is Tyler Kelly, and we're going to just say a little bit about you, Tyler. Tyler competed in the National Geographic State Level Geography B that was held March 30th, 2012 in Anchorage. More than 100 4th through 8th graders from 21 Alaska school districts participated. The contestants pre-qualified by winning their school's Bs and passing a qualifying test. A sample question during the B might be, the North Atlantic Current brings warm waters from the tropics to the west coast of which continent?
Europe.
All right. Good job, Tyler. And Tyler took second place in the state. So congratulations. We're going to take another picture with you, Ted. You are a famous man today. Thank you. Good job, Tyler. All right, this next competition is the Cisco competition. It's called the NetWriters USA and Canada High School Secondary IT Skills Challenge. So it's not a national competition. If Canada's involved, we're calling it international. So with that, we had two students, and if they're here, if you could please come forward, Micah Rousa from Mat-Su Central School and Alexi Volushin from Wasilla High School. I'm not sure if Alexi could make it. Okay, so this is Micah Rousa, and we've met him several times, and he has another claim to fame. He pretty much wired Mat-Su Central School, so we put him to work very quickly. This competition in Cisco Networking Academy NetWriters is an opportunity for students to showcase their IT networking skills and gain visibility among talented recruiters in the growing ICT networking field. The high school competition is organized by Cisco and carried out through a series of online exams and simulation activities. Each year, over 10,000 students compete. There were three stages of the competition. These two students from Matsu placed first in the preliminary test. They placed first in our state and 24th at the international level. So congratulations. Do you want to say anything about the competition? All right, excellent. Thank you. Next, we have these kids just are famous all over for science and engineering. The next award is the Thielen Middle School Design Team School of the Future First Place. So please, if you're here from the design team, please come forward. We did honor the design team. Is anybody from there on the design team? Just by chance. We honored the design team at our last quarterly award ceremony, and we just wanted to make another note that they won the state competition, and they also won the Northwest competition. They competed in Washington, D.C. the last week of school and tied for first place. So congratulations, Thielen, once again. And they've done different presentations about their design of their new school. They have a school of the future, and they've done it for the Board of Realtors. They've done it at other large events in the Valley, and these kids really do shine and have a lot of engineering skills. So with that, I'm going to move on to the next award, which is NYO, or the Native Youth Olympics. Started in 1972, the NYO Games included 10 events based on games that past generations of Alaska Native people played to test their hunting and survival skills. To also increase their strength and maintenance, or maintain endurance rather, their agility and balance of the mind and body. About 500 students from across Alaska gathered in Anchorage this spring to demonstrate their skills. These 500 students competed in competitions at their local school districts and qualified, if you will, to make it to this state competition. The NYO Games are hosted by the Cook Inlet Tribal Council, and the games, again, were held in April. I'm not sure, some of these students called and said that they weren't able to make it, but we're going to talk about them a little bit and their skills and their scores. So first place in Eskimo stick pull was Dalton Beatty. Is Dalton here? Second place in the wrist carry, which is basically a pull-type stick, and the student just holds on with their wrist while they're carried. Jacob McInulty, is Jacob here? Jacob was carried with just holding on with his wrist 488 feet to win second place at the state level. Is Amanda Burke present? Amanda Burke took third place in that same event for the women. Daniel Adams took third place in the Alaskan high kick, where he kicked 86 inches. Frederike Schaefer took third place in the two-foot high kick, and then Forrest Strick took third place in the Indian stick pull. And Forrest has a way to go because I think Forrest's sister was the statewide best athlete in Native Youth Olympics for a couple years in a row, so he's going to have to catch up with his sister. So thank you to all those NYO participants and for their coaches who coached them through those events. Very good. All right, this next list is quite long. Not only Matsu is known for its sciences, it's also known for our prowess, if you will, in career events for the career and technical organization. As you can see, we have a board member who was a career teacher, if you will, who supports Skills USA. He wore a shirt here tonight in support of these students. I was able to attend this conference at the very end, and there's about 500 students, and Matsu, when they gave the awards, just they kept saying, Matsu, Matsu, Matsu. So being one-third the size of Anchorage, we certainly received three times the amount of awards. So Career and Technical Student Organizations, or CTSOs, 2012 Performance-Based Assessment Conference was held in Anchorage. They're an important component of career and technical education in Alaska. Each organization provides standards-based education, leadership and professional development, job and career-related training, employability skills, citizenship and communication skills, and opportunities to set and achieve goals. We have approximately 25 to 30 students. I'm going to read their names. If your name is called, come forward and we'll get you your certificate. At the end, those students that are here will take a photo. So, for Skills USA, the State Pin Design, a Colony High School student, Stephen Foreman. Career Technical High School student in Skills USA, welding, first place. All these students that I call actually took first place. So we're only honoring our first place kids, and there's over 30. So Andre Zagalardi, Skills USA, first place welding. Wasilla High School student, Ronnie Payne, Skills USA, skill demonstration, first place. Valley Pathways student, Kayla Chapman, Skills USA, promotional bulletin board and chapter display. Colony High School student, Samantha Matatucci, Skills USA, promotional bulletin board. CHS student, Annika Svoboda, Skills USA, promotional bulletin board and chapter display. CTHS student, Peter Kelly, we know Peter's here, wasn't Peter here? Skills USA job skill demonstration. CTHS Sam Green, Skills USA technical drafting. CTHS Tyler Smith, Skills USA food and beverage service, and he took first in the BPA human resource management. Tyler, come on up here. Yeah. All right. All right, Tyler, just stay up here, and I'm going to finish these names. Career Tech High School student, Vinemins Vinlaski, Skills USA Teamworks, first place. CTHS again, Daniel Bayman, Skills USA Cabinet Making, first place. Colony, oh, there he is, come on up. Daniel, so you built a cabinet and took first place. It was judged, excellent job. We'll take a picture. All right. You can stay up here as well. Kelsey Barsley, a Colony High School student, took first place in what's called the Business Professionals of America, which I will be referring to as BPA, for Advanced Office Systems and Procedures. Colony High School student Tyler Brogdon, BPA, Advanced Word Processing Skills. Colony High School student Stephen Earhart, BPA, Business Meetings, Management Concepts, and Financial Analyst Team. Colony High School student, Shai Hare, BPA, first place in the financial analyst team. Houston High School has the next six awards, given all for first place. Danielle Andrew, BPA, desktop publishing. Zachary Grace. Oh, Danielle, come on up. All right. Congratulations. We're just going to take a picture just with you first, and then... All right. Zachary Grace, Houston High School, BPA, Digital Media Production. Congratulations. Sam Starkenberg, BPA, Information Technology Concepts. So Sam actually took first place in three events. He did the technical concepts, the Java programming, and website design team. Houston High School, Heather Haynes. BPA interview skills. Houston High School, Robert Brown, first place in website design team. Houston High School, Joseph Guthier, BPA website design team. I think Houston High has a pretty good technology program, I'd say. Let's see. Career Technical High School, Dennis Natkin, BPA Insurance Concepts, Advanced Accounting and Banking. CTHS student, Jonathan Dreyer, BPA Advanced Spreadsheet Applications and Database. Jonathan. notable about Jonathan is that we've actually hired him. Jonathan, what grade are you in?
Junior going to senior.
He's a junior going to senior. He's been working for us probably for the last 3 or 4 months. And he audits all our school's websites and all of our teacher websites. So he literally grades the teachers and the schools on their websites so that we have high-functioning technology and websites in our district. And who better to hire? How much do we pay you?
Not enough.
I think he earns $10 an hour. That's pretty respectable for checking out our... And he can, you know... He doesn't tell on his reports, though. Okay, Andrew Moore, BPA Computer Network Technology, Career Technical High School student, first place. Christopher Bailey from Career Tech High School and BPA Computer Systems, PC Servicing and Troubleshooting and Information Technology Concepts. CTH, Mark Simon, BPA Extemporaneous Speech. CTHS, Jacob Kincaid for Financial and Math Analysis. CTHS student Brandon Williams. Where's Brandon? All right. And I'm going to have to take a breath before I say all the first place that Brandon competed in and won. BPA Fundamental Spreadsheet Application Analysis, Fundamental Word Processing Skills, Administrative Support Concepts, and Parliamentary Procedure Concepts took first place in all of those. CTHS student John Harrison, BPA Integral Office Applications, CTHS Danoil Ballas, BPA Medical Office Procedures. CTHS student Jason Dunham took first place in the video production team. CTHS student Scott Goza, BPA Video Production Team. CTHS student Taylor Johnson, BPA Video Production Team. Sioux Valley High School student, Kenzie Holbrook, took first place in BPA Marketing, Human Resources, and Advanced Interviewing Skills. Career Tech High School, Charlie Wyatt. Charlie took first place in this new group is the Health Occupation Student of America. It's a HOSA for short, and took first place in the Medical Math. CTHS student, Tess Adams, took first place in the CPR first aid. CTHS Houston tied also Hannah Groth for first place in first aid. And Molly Matlock.
You forgot Brianna Potter.
Brianna Potter. So we had three students tied for first place, all from the same school. All right, and... Sioux Valley High School student Brianna Potter, BPA Graphic Design. So if you, at the conference, believe me, there's hundreds of kids from Anchorage, hundreds of kids from Fairbanks. They come in from Kodiak, Valdez, the North Slope. Kids from all over the state come together, and Matt Sue sweeps the competition. Maybe half of you could stand up. Jump up on the back. Jump up there. Yeah, go back. Jump up. You want to jump up there? There you go. Terrific. Good job, gentlemen and ladies. This next award, I see some members gathering in the back. They all might not be here, but we'd like to honor the ASAA 4A Track and Field State Championship to the Wasilla High School girls team. If you could all please come forward. Yeah, I'll name them. All right, these ladies, as they're walking up here, I'm going to announce, face the audience there. These ladies, some of them were actually on the cross-country team that also took first place in the state. And some of the members on the track team were also on the basketball team that took first. So the ladies at Wasilla High really kick you know what. So good job. So our 4A state champion track and field meet was held May 18th and 19th, 2012 at Lathrop High School in Fairbanks. Wasilla High School girls team score was 94. The Warrior team is made up of Morgan Dampier, Jessica Pakula, Jenna Ford, I don't see her, Mariah Burrows, Erin Fitchner, Riley Burrows. Did you guys ever race each other?
Yeah.
Who wins? Just kidding. Not for long, right? Erin Fitchner, Alicia Devine, Peggy Mathis, Alexis Aimo, I don't see her here, and Soraya Tolasua. Say that for me. Tulisa Ula. There you go. Congratulations to these ladies. And they are coached by Mr. Gary Howell. But I do want, if you could step forward, Ms. Dampier. Is it Morgan? Did I say your last name correctly as well? Dampier? Okay. She earned three individual titles. So she was a real point getter for the team, if you will. In our entire state, she took first in the 200 meters, first in the 400 meters, and first in the 800 meters at the state meet. So congratulations. I'm not sure anyone in the state has ever done that before, three first place on those. So congratulations. Ladies, and let's run. All right, good job. We'll take one more picture, yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. The last acknowledgement we want to make is a representative here from First Student. Are you receiving for First Student? Or? Okay. We have from the Matsu Schools Foundation, Ms. Conover is a representative from the Matsu Schools Foundation, and we have Chris Remick here who works for the district. We contract out, of course, with First Student, and First Student wrote a check to the district for $10,000 to give student scholarships. And the Matsu Schools Foundation, who partners for grants for kids, scholarship for kids, as well as teachers, will be announcing the winners this evening.
First we have Ian Johnson, and I don't believe Ian made it today. Oh, he is here today. Good. Ian gets a $2,000 scholarship from First Student. The next one is Lacey Player. And Lacey also was awarded a $2,000 scholarship from First Student. And the next one is Zena DeLoach. Is Zena here? Zena also got a $2,000 scholarship from First Student. And Taylor Guthrie? And Taylor also got a scholarship for $2,000.
Congratulations. These students also, they had to demonstrate academic prowess, if you will, but they also, during their time at Matsu, had to ride a big yellow school bus, and they did that one too. So thank you, and we'll take a quick picture. All right, thank you. Congratulations. Do you have schools picked out? Where are you headed?
Brigham Young University.
Brigham Young University. Congratulations. And how about you? Did you pick a school?
Oh, yes. I'm going to UAA.
Excellent. Good job. Staying in our state. All right. Oh, Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we are going to present, just talk to you a little bit about the boardroom. As you came in today, we had some pictures going up, and this was a project really to put students to work. The Matsuburo School District had a challenge. This was a gym about 9 months ago, and actually a gym that was no longer used as a gym. It was kind of a storage facility. And there was an idea that we kind of outgrew Palmer High School. And so through capital monies that we received, we were able to economically use those, if you will. We hired about 12 students and a supervisor who already worked for us, supervised the students to get this lovely boardroom completed. And we want to honor those students. And I'm going to ask Mr. Ken Forrest to come forward. And really, how about the whole board? If you could come forward and honor these students, as well as their leader. Did you want to say a few words? So this is kind of our little dedication as well to a new space.
If you were fortunate enough to see the presentation in the beginning, not only did the students under Mike Dahl's supervision build this room that you see today, but they also learned how to build the room, and we had significant energy improvements. For example, 30% energy improvement in the heat and 80% energy improvement in the lighting. So in addition to outfitting this room and making it a good meeting space for the board, it's also a professional development center. And so we really can't say enough good things about the students and Mike's leadership that made this room come together.
All right, we have some just a small token of appreciation. If the general contractor, who is our supervisor in the Matsuburo School District, he never thought he'd go into construction and get a job where his whole crew were children. But he did, and he's done an excellent job with these young adults. Would Mr. Mike Dahl please come forward? Thank you. Would you like to say a few words?
Congratulations. Thank you. This will work good. Trim finish work.
All right. Congratulations. And he did, like I said, a phenomenal job. I'm going to call each student's name, and a board member will present to you your hammer with a nice little token of our appreciation. Please come forward, Alex Wendell. Brittany Huggins. Kyla Waite. Michelle Price. Oh, she won't be able to make it. There's a note on here, sorry. Robin Ferris. This gentleman's here. I saw his face. Tyrell Olson.
Good job. Thank you.
Wendell Niles. Devin Cherneski. And finally, Nicholas Waters. And we hope to use this room for many years to come. A picture of tonight's students and their teacher will be placed forever in the boardroom, right here on this plaque. So thank you very much. Can some of you hop up on the back? All right, at this time I really would request that the board remain down on the floor. We have a special recognition, and our last recognition is for our retiring staff from the Matsuburo School District. To assist me in giving the awards are each school board member as well as the leadership of each association. Mr. Dan Michael is the president of the Matsu Principals Association. Ms. Lori Miner is the president of the Classified Employees Association, and Mr. Boyle is the president of the Certified Association. And with our 7-member board, we will happily honor these wonderful staff. I'm going to begin, and I'll come right over here. I'm going to begin with our paraprofessionals, our classified folks, and I do have a little something that was sent in to us about you. And the school district wants to just say thank you for your service and honor you this evening. We do have a gift, a nook for you to continue your lifelong enjoyment of reading and continuation of learning. So you'll leave this evening with a nice certificate, some great handshakes, a nook, and you probably have had better parties since you announced your retirement. So with that, I'll start and go in the amount of years. 9-year classified employee, Ms. Dove Wright. Dove here? Dove isn't here, but Dove was information technologist who worked for us for 9 years. Diane Berry. Okay. Joan Moore. Where's Joan? Oh, Joan Moore. All right. Joan has worked with the Matsuburo School District for 12 years at Pioneer Peak. Joan is dedicated, she could light up a classroom just walking in. As a dedicated employee, she's absolutely wonderful. The kids she worked with accomplished outdid their limits, and that limits that they did not think these children could reach. She will be greatly missed by all her co-workers, but we wish her wonderful adventures to come. We know she's going to have a good time in retirement. Pioneer Peak Elementary School. Thank you. Just go right over there. Mm-hmm. So you can get your note for it. We're going to. And then if you could stay over there, we're going to take a picture of everybody at the end. All righty. Is Andy Klingbeil here? I didn't see him. I worked with Andy many years at Teeland Middle School. Andy's retiring with 13 years of service in the district. Mirner Kutchion is 15 years of service at Tenina Elementary School. That was Nick Cutrone.
No.
Nick Cutrone? Okay, she's going to do the whole phenomenon.
And when I first got married, I couldn't pronounce it either. McCutcheon.
McCutcheon. McCutcheon. All right. Mirna McCutcheon, 15 years at Tenina Elementary School. It's 15 years with our district. Mirna was dedicated to her position at Tenina as our lunch lady. The kitchen was a source of pride for her. All details were well organized and the rules were carefully followed. Mirna was conscientious and concerned for the safety and health of the kitchen environment and our students of Matsu. She knew all the students by name, first and last, after many years of working in the position where you only see students perhaps for about 5 minutes. So she didn't see them very often, but she was certain to know each and every student's name. Thank you for your dedication. Another Tenina employee, Kathleen Deming. Kathleen served in our district for 18 years and is retiring. Tanya Mossborough. Tanya has worked with our district for 22 years in the Student Support Services. She has finished her career here at the district office for the last year, but for 21 years prior to that, Tanya worked at Palmer Junior Middle School. She worked with many students and staff members. Her work with students included reading instruction, mentoring, and assisting students in all ways. We all remember Tanya as most helpful and most knowledgeable when it comes to special education procedures. Congratulations on your retirement, Tanya. Alrighty. Marilyn Hauser served in our district for 24 years. Is Marilyn Hauser here? And Polly Harvey. I'm not sure if Polly is here. Nope, Polly's not here. And Polly served in our district, school district, for 32 years and is retiring. Her most recent job was at Colony Middle School as the administrative assistant. So we'll move on to our, what we call in the district, certified folks. It takes us all to make a team, and in the certified folks, we have several retirees as well. So I'll start with Anna Boyers, if she's here. Anna worked 8 years for Mat-Su School District in federal programs. Kathy Trina was a 9-year veteran from Palmer High School. I didn't see her, but is Jane Wilcox here? Jane Wilcox, a Wasilla High School teacher, served 12 years. Is Pam Burnley here? Okay. How about Carla Krupa from Tenina? Another Tenina. You could start here, I guess. Thanks, Carla. Carla's position as a speech-language teacher was a perfect fit for Tenina. Students really looked forward to their time with her. She was so adored by many. This was probably because Carla took care to get to know each and every student she worked with. Her professional demeanor was ever present in our school every day. Thank you for your 12 years of service. Jean Oldham. Is Jean here? Oh, Jean's here. Jean served 17 years in our district. Jean started at Sutton Elementary School in 1996. She brought to Sutton a lifetime of experiences from a cattle rancher to a commercial fisherwoman to a hunting camp guide. When she came to Sutton, she brought with her these great life experiences and weaved them into her lessons. Her stories, her knowledge, and her vocabulary would rival any college professor. Congratulations. I know this next person isn't here. He moved to Phoenix already. Edward Marvin served 17 years in our district. His most recent position was in our career technical ed department, but he was also at Wasilla High. Wendy Tomko's here. Wendy. Wendy was a dedicated professional for 21 years at Palmer Middle School. She most recently served as the school counselor. She is a loving person who has a heart of gold. She will be gratefully missed. What else do you want us to say? 21 years, thank you. Is Larry Ouellette here? Larry Ouellette is retiring with 21 years in Mat-Su. Chris Jones, another Palmer Junior Middle School employee. And Lori Knutson. Maureen McCombs. There you are, Maureen, come on up. Maureen McCombs.
I taught in the gym 22 years ago, this gym.
Oh, this gym.
I did.
How's it look like? All right.
Great.
Maureen has been in our district and served with us for 27 years. She's highly energetic, as you can see, because she raced to the front. She's energetic and enthusiastic. Those would be the best two words to describe her. As Tenina's PE teacher, Maureen was always looking for safer and better ways to continually improve a student's physical well-being. Just during the last few years, Maureen had worked to obtain and fulfill grants to improve Tenina's running trail, track and field areas, and many more sports areas in our school. Her favorite treat to share with staff was, as you guessed it, apples. She would always have a fresh cut-up apple available for any staff member who happened by. Thank you for your service. 27 years. Charlene Dermer from Colony Middle School. Colony Middle School has had Charlene Dermer blessed since it's opened to have her. She has served 28 years before retiring. Colony Middle School says, AKA, she's really Mama Derm. She is known for telling it like it is and taking care of her big CMS family, from students, teachers, and their extended families. She's a compassionate, positive, and loving person of a strong faith. We will truly miss her immensely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is Marla K. Holtzkonecht here? Marla K. Holtzkonecht is a teacher who served 29 years. From 1983, she started at Cottonwood Creek Elementary School. And is Rosalie Schutte here? There she is. Rosalie has actually gets a special nook, and so did one of the big, fantastic ones. Rosalie Schutte won the prize for most years, 34 years before she retired. Rosalie most recently worked at Swanson Elementary School. They say that we're very fortunate at Swanson Elementary to be the location where Rosalie got promoted to working with our district's youngest students near the end of her career. You'd think after years of high schoolers, middle schoolers, district, state, and national involvement in promoting sound physical fitness and quality physical education, she'd have been a little bit more tired than going to the little kids. Not Rosalie. She brought her best to the one last position and inspired our young students to do their best so that they can be their best. Thank you, Rosalie. Congratulations. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have a total, we're losing, if you will, a total of 457 hours for retirement and experience, or years, rather, not hours. Oh, but we do have one more in the audience. How could I forget? We're losing an administrator, too. Would Barry Johnson please come forward? We would like to forget it, so maybe he'd stick with us. Stay on board. Barry Johnson is most recently retiring from the Matsu Day School as its principal. Barry is retiring after 23 years serving students. There is a uniqueness about Barry that enabled him to be successful in a position that very few others could or would ever attempt. He has a wonderful, subtle sense of humor that kept staff going through difficult times and a calm, cool demeanor that helped staff de-escalate as much as the students. Hands-on with the kids at the day school, figuratively speaking and literally, he never shied away from addressing difficult situations with parents, students, or staff. He is truly a respected leader of Matsu Day School and the district alike. Barry will be sorely missed, but most of all, we know that he'd rather be drumming. All right. So once again, I'll try to get it right this time. We will miss 457 years of absolutely wonderful experience from the people that are here before you and those that couldn't be here tonight. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to call the meeting to order. Madam Clerk, can you determine a quorum?
We do have a quorum with Member Larson available online.
Member Welton, could you please read the board goals?
Our board goals, our vision,
Matsuburo School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Our mission, Matsuburo School District prepares students for success. Our beliefs, we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Our core values, stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, and lack of reprisal. Our goals, we will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff.
Thank you. Mayor Johnson, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. This takes us to item two, which is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Approve the agenda.
A motion is made by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Pollager. Member Larson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Pollager?
Yes.
Member Welton? Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes. Mr. President?
I agree, and we're working through just a couple dry runs here, bugs. We're going to take a brief recess, very brief. Okay, we're back in session. This takes us down to item four, persons to be heard on non-agenda items. And once again, we have two of these per meeting, 30 minutes each. We're going to read the guidelines. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comment should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room clear if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour for meeting. Madam Clerk, do we have folks signed up?
We have no one signed up.
Is there anyone in the audience that has not signed up that would like to speak before the board at this time? Seeing none. Oh, okay. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Terry Snyder, someone has to break this mic in for you. Dr. Parmo, members of the board, I just want to congratulate you on a job well done with this this building. This is a true asset to our borough. And this sends a message to everybody in the borough and your students, your employees, you're worth it. So good job.
Thank you. This takes us down to borough and city reports. Do we have any borough and city reports from Palmer? Please come forward. State your name for the record. Thank you.
Keep it very brief. I would second the remarks from the previous speaker. You've got a beautiful facility here. Being a professional meeting goer. This is nice to have an upgraded facility here for the borough, so I also applaud the efforts of your staff and to do it so economically and yet tastefully is very good. The only thing I have to say is it's Colony Days weekend in Palmer this weekend, so starting on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Keep your fingers crossed for good weather. We hope to have a bigger and better Colony Days this weekend, so if you have some time to come celebrate a genuine small town event festival, please honor us. I am signed up for the dunk tank from 12 to 1. I think there still are a few openings. If anybody else wants to sign up, you can contact the Chamber of Commerce. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any volunteers for the dunk tank? If so, you can talk with our city manager. Are there any other administrative reports from the city of Wasilla or the borough? Seeing none, we'll move on. This takes us down to item 6, administrative reports. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Mr. President and the board. I just have a brief comments, I guess. We successfully in the district ended the school year with 11 graduations and 8 promotions. And I'd like to thank the city of Wasilla specifically for their assistance in helping us with the Menard Sports Center. The city of Wasilla did open up another egress to the facility just for graduations. In the past, it took about an hour and a half to get the traffic out of the Menard Sports Center. And this year, with their assistance, the city of Wasilla police officers and the extra road, we were able to do it in under 30 minutes. So I appreciate that. And the work of the students, parents, teachers, I congratulate them all on a successful year. For updates for the budget, and we do have updates for our bond and construction going on, I'm going to ask Mr. Ken Forrest to report on those two items, please.
Good evening, members of the board. The budget is still in progress. We are in the process of course, shifting from IFAS to MUNIS. And we hope to have a very comprehensive document for you ready on the 20th. On the projects, a little update from the borough projects this evening. The Houston football field lights are done, and there is a $7,500 balance that's going to be added in to the sports complex amount that was passed by the voters, and that will be used in summer of 2013. Palmer High School turf, field and track have been demoed, and they're on schedule for their August completion. Trapper Creek roof, they're going to repair some of the damage that occurred over the winter, and the borough is attempting to add that to the existing roof bond project. Wasilla Middle School roof, demo on the first floor is in progress, and they, unfortunately, as they did in this facility, discovered some asbestos, so the abatement is now being bid and scheduled. They're making good progress on the roof, and obviously will be done by the end of the summer. The Wasilla High School roof is underway. Wasilla, Colony, Houston, and Palmer High School athletic field improvements. The design process, RFP, closes on June 18th. And then they'll have evaluations of those bids and move forward with the sports complexes. The design RFP is under evaluation on the Matsu Day School. All of those documents are due June 8th. The 2010 bonds roof replacements for Butte and Snowshoe. The bid was sent out on March 21st. Pre-conference was the 29th of March. And the assembly approved those projects at the May 15th meeting. The contract's been executed, and they have a notice to proceed. Substantial completion is expected by August. Roof replacement at the admin building. As you may have noticed, they had some issues with regard to asbestos inside of this facility. There is a contract out for asbestos abatement. What we anticipate is a latter part of July they will begin the abatement of the asbestos in this facility. The borough has agreed to include that in the bond project, so that will be done at no cost to the district. That will then allow the roofing project to proceed. Big Lake Elementary renovation. Lots of meetings and proposals going on there. Schematics, the 35% schematics are due by August 31st, and they're looking for a 95% completion by October, middle of October. That means that construction documents can start going out in the middle of October with bids by the 1st of November, and contractor approval they're hoping for the first week of December. And then they want to have substantial completion on the remodel at Big Lake by April of 2013. So we have a lot of things going on. The school safety and security bond is 99% complete. The ADA and parking access is still in the initial stages. The Kinnick Elementary School, they're looking at property, and lots of flooring going on this summer. So we have about 8 schools that will be receiving additional new carpet. The wood boiler project, as you may know, has been approved by the borough, and they are meeting to ensure that the necessary fuel and logistics behind firing a wood boiler are in place before proceeding. Valley Pathways Replacement School, the RFP for proposals, are due by June 14th. And with the 2011 bond, there are 7 schools that will be obtaining carpet under that bond. Career Tech High School Wing, they're now doing the educational specifications on that, and we're happy to report that they're moving to completion on acquiring the Iditarod Elementary School site. So lots of projects already in process, and more to come as we move through. They are also working on acquiring a site for the new Kinnick Middle High School area. So that's a summary from the borough. As you can see, a lot of activity, a lot of work going on. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the board of administration? Member Powell.
I was over at Colony High School, and I noticed their field was all torn up. Is that being replaced this summer, too, or is that something else?
Colony High School turf is being replaced. It's being done by the Boosters. There was a direct appropriation from the legislature to the Boosters Club, and they're also using in-kind contributions from the Boosters. So that truly is a homegrown, if you will, implementation. However, USKH is the design architect, and so it's being installed to professional standards. And we have every indication that they will get the turf in this summer. And then the borough will be coming back next summer to do the track and the other parts of the sports complex. So we look for the turf to be done and the track to follow next summer.
Any other questions? Thank you. This takes us down to our consent agenda, which is item 8. Is there a motion to move the consent agenda?
I move the consent agenda A, minutes May 2, 2012, minutes B, minutes May 9, 2012, C, 12-132, permission to apply, expend a U.S. Department of Education Council and Program grant, D, 12-133, permission to apply and expend a D, Title 2A subgrant to eligible partners grant, E, 12-148, permission to apply, expand on Alaska pre-kindergarten program grant, F, 12-150, recommendation for principal hire, Sioux Valley Junior Senior High School, and G, 12-152, permission to apply, expand a Friends of the NRA grant.
I second that.
Motion made by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Welton. Are there any? Does anyone wish to pull any items?
One quick question, if I may.
Yes, Member Larson.
Is the is the new principal in the audience tonight? The Sioux Valley Junior Senior High School?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, motions on the floor. I would like to pull item C, 12-132, permission to apply, expend the U.S. Department of Education Counseling Program grant. And item E, 12-148, permission to apply, expend, and Alaska pre-kindergarten program grant. Are there any other members of the board that would like to pull an item? Seeing none.
I would like to hear more about item G, so I want to pull item G also.
Member Larson, do you wish to pull any items?
All my items have been pulled, but I'll second that motion.
Any other board members wish to pull items at this point? Seeing none, the motion on the floor was to pass the consent agenda. These items pulled. Is there any dissent to pass the consent agenda as amended, being item A, B, D, and F? I'm going to do a voice vote on that. Member Larson?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
So with that, can we go to item C? And I guess I will ask the first question. Give me one second, please. All right. Let's make a motion, please, to move item C to the floor. Is there a motion to move item C?
I move item C.
Second.
Motion moved by Member Welton, seconded by Member Larson. The question is for administration, to what extent do we have such a grant currently within the district or something similar?
Thank you, Mr. President. I can answer that question. Currently, we do operate with programs for elementary counseling. However, we only have one elementary counselor that works through the positive behavioral support and interventions with schools. During the grant period when we had the ARRA funds, we were able to have four counselors working with elementary. When that grant went away, we knew that those positions went away. This last year, again, we operated with one, and we saw the opportunity to apply and compete for a grant to bring more elementary counselors to our district, and that's the primary goal of this grant.
Thank you. I have no further questions. Are there any questions from other members of the board regarding this item? Member Gaddis.
Yes, I had a couple of the same questions. I guess for starters, this is a one-time funding for this year, correct? Or excuse me, the next 3 years. But then after that, then we'll do it again, correct? Okay, I understand.
Member Larson, do you have any questions on this item?
No, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, can we vote on this item? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
I too vote yes. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item E, 12-148, permission to apply, expend, and Alaska Pre-Kindergarten Program Grant. Is there a motion to move this item to the floor?
I would like to make a motion to move this item to the floor.
Second.
Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Larson. That's just a quick question. Member Larson, do you have a question on E?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Similar question. Just give us a little background on what's happening now. And this is a grant for 2 years for 4- and 5-year-olds. talk to us about what may be occurring now that's related to this program.
Mr. President, Matsuboro School District operates our preschools currently with special programs. Specifically, if students are initially referred by Head Start and Child Find, we provide preschool services and provide a student with an IEP for developmentally delayed. In addition, we have written two grants through Alaska Native and Indian Education and received those grants to provide preschool for special populations. We would like to apply for this grant to expand our preschool, and since the question was asked, I'm just going to take the liberty to share some data with you. For students that we provided in FY11, which was last year, preschool services, and these are children who were identified as developmentally delayed and have an IEP, for those students, we took their assessment data after kindergarten, and our district-wide, our students are about 76% of our kids at kindergarten are on grade level leaving kindergarten. The students in this subgroup who we had previously provided preschool, they are on grade level at a 95% rate. So we have quite a bit of evidence that our preschools are working, and therefore we would like to expand it as we can, finding funds outside the operational funds and monies to be able to provide this service to our community.
Mr. President, I have a question.
Mr. Larson, or Member Larson.
It's directed to the superintendent. Will there be typical pairs in this preschool?
Yes, all of these, if you will, a typical peer is a student that is does not have an IEP. This preschool is for children who do not have IEPs, or they could have IEPs, but it doesn't leave out kids who do not have a individualized education plan. So what you are referring to as a typical peer, which folks might not understand that terminology, all kids would have access or an ability to be able to be a part of the program.
Member Larson, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the board? I have one follow-up. Given the data that you just shared with us on what appears to be the success rate for this, has administration calculated out what a cost would be to fully fund this for all students in the same category?
Mr. President, no, we have not done that longitudinal data. We would target these preschools in the highest need area, though, where preschools are not available.
Okay, thank you.
I have one follow-up question.
With that, item E, 12-148, permission to apply, expend in the Alaska pre-kindergarten program. If there's no other questions, please let's vote. Member Larson?
I have one follow-up question. May I ask that, please?
Go ahead, Mr. Larson.
How are you going to find the preschool kids? I mean, are you going to advertise, or how is that going to happen? And if you have too many kids, then how is that going? Are you going to go by a lottery system? How is that going to work?
Mr. President, I'm going to request that Lucy Hope, the writer of this grant, and her team share some information in regard to Mr. Larson's question.
Thank you. In identifying students for this program, we would look at specific communities, including Trapper Creek, which has no preschool available at this time, Shaw Elementary, which would serve students who are English language learners. And then we would look at two other communities, the Swanson Shared Community, and we would target military families, and Wasilla High School, which we would share the facility with our Nonmont preschool. We also would work with Head Start so that we wouldn't compete for the same students. That's a very important partnership to us. So Head Start may screen students first, and children who don't meet their income eligibility would then come to this preschool program.
Mr. Larson, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Any other questions for members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote on this item. Member Larson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Member Gaddis? Member Powger? Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. Motion passes. It's unanimous.
Just to let you know, I only heard your vote. Thank you.
I'm sorry. The vote was unanimous. This takes us down to item G, 12-152, permission to apply expend a Friends of NRA grant. Is there a motion to move this item? Is there a second? Motion moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Gaddis. Motion's on the floor. Are there questions for members of the board? Member Pauger?
I know that Colony High School does have a shooting sports program. Are we planning on adding shooting sports programs here in our district?
Thank you, Member Pauger. As the interest builds, we have provided an opportunity for organizations, organized groups to come forward at schools. At the district level, when schools ask for assistance or in starting it, we support that. There are some items in your reading file about the skeet shooting, that it actually does come with a cost to students and to the district. So if we can make things work, then we move forward with those. But I wanted to let you know that the timing of this grant and application came in between board meetings, and so we actually did receive it, and we're really just requesting to expend it.
Any other questions for members of the board for administration? Member Lacey.
Yes, many of you know that I'm a big shooting sports fan, but I'm curious to know, do we do any kind of lead screening with anybody that's in our lead poisoning screening with anybody that's in one of our shooting sports? Oh.
Mr. Lacey, I can get that information for you at this time. I don't believe I've known about any program like that.
Any other questions for members of the board for administration on this item? Seeing none. Items on the floor, and we're going to vote. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Gaddis.
Yes.
Member Pauger.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Cordero. Yes. And I, too, vote yes. Motion passes unanimous. This takes us down to item 9, action items. A-12125, second reading, BP5142.2, return to play. Is there a motion to move this item?
I move this item, the second reading of the board policy 5142.2, return to play.
Is there a second?
Is there a second? Motion moved by Member Welton, seconded by Member Cordero. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
Mr. President, on item A, 12-125, return to play, we are ready and able to answer any questions that the board may have.
Member Larson, do you have any questions on this item?
No, I don't. It appears that we're talking about anybody like that has a sports background certification can and be on the field. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Larson. That key word was certification. So sports trainers who are certified sports trainers or certified medical professionals may operate in the return to play. Yes.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Pauger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
And I, too, vote yes. Motion passes unanimous. This takes us to item B, 12-129, Fronteras Charter School Renewal. Is there a motion to move this item?
I make a motion that we move 12-1-29, Fronteras Charter School Renewal.
Motion moved by made by member Lacey, seconded by Member Gaddis. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
Mr. President and Board, the administration, along with the principal of Fronteras Charter School, are willing and able and present to answer any questions you may have.
Member Lacey, excuse me, Member Larson, do you have any questions?
Not at this time, thank you.
Are there any questions for members of the board? Member Cordero.
It's not a question, but I wanted to disclose that my children attend this school. And I don't believe I have a conflict, but if any member of the board believes that I do, I'll abstain from the vote.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote on this item. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero? Yes. And I too vote yes. Motion passes unanimous. This takes us to item C, 12-130, second reading, BP 3100, budget. Is there a motion to move this item?
Yes, I'd like to move 12-130, second reading, BP 3100, budget.
Is there a second? Motion moved by Member Lacey, second by Member Gaddis. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Is there a staff report?
No, Mr. President, but we are present to answer any questions.
Thank you. Member Larson, do you have a question on this item?
Not at this time.
Any questions for members of the board? Member Welton?
Just in going through the actual board policy here, we have struck out professional learning communities. Are there any professional learning communities in our district now?
Member Welton, and through the President, yes. We operate in professional learning communities. The word, if you will, has, at first it was, I don't know, just a new word in education, and now it's a common word, and that's really professionally with our staff, teachers, parents, that's how we make decisions. So I'm not sure, it's kind of like a cotton swab is now, everybody calls it a Q-tip. We do professional learning communities all the time. It's a pretty common practice for us. Thank you.
Any additional questions from members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote on this item. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
I too vote yes. Motion passes. We're going to take a brief recess. Okay, we'll get going in 1 minute. Okay, we're back in session. This takes us down to non-action items. This takes us to A, 12-134, 1% for art approvals. Dr. Perramo.
Thank you, Mr. President. Wasilla High School had a balance left on their 1% for art. They put together a committee made up of staff, parents, and students, and have selected through this process, queried the interest in our board conference room is a model of the artwork. I assure you it's approved and folks are happy about it. And if you need any more information, you can see the design, talk to the artist that they selected, as well as the principal of the school. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the board? Member Larson?
Not at this time, thank you.
Any other questions for members of the board on this side? Member Cordero?
I remember that one of the reasons why we have the 1% art program was to promote, not to promote, but to engage the local community of artists. And I noticed that one of the artists is from Anchorage. So what was the process for that selection? Were there not enough artists in Matsu to engage? Oh, sorry, I forgot.
Through the President, the 1% for art is actually a state law that promotes art in the entire state. And so there's an RFP actually put out on the artwork, and it's competition from around the state. But it is local artists in the sense locally in Alaska.
One more question. Can our students apply for that? Can they participate through that bidding process?
Through the President, as long as they're an approved vendor, absolutely.
Any other questions on this item for members of the board? Member Larson?
Not at this time, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, this will come up for action at the next meeting. This takes us down to item B, 12-135, first reading, BP 9272, board member conduct. I believe this is coming out of the policy committee, and if Member Lacey or Member Welton wants to talk to this item, please do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. This came out of our board, our board policy subcommittee that we make a point to try and update board policy every year, and this is the first one, I think. Specifically, what we were going for was in the board member conduct, BP 9272, a sentence was added to the bottom of A, B, and C, and that was, emailing or texting is not paying attention to the meeting at hand, and the devices should be turned off. So the what we'd be voting on is adding that sentence to that particular policy.
Any questions for members of the board to the policy committee on this item?
I have a question.
Member Larson?
I noticed the splitting hairs, and the reason I would bring it up is because it also reflects in a couple of other policy changes coming up. Does this policy also pertain to, like myself, who is online and not actually at the meeting?
Member Lacey,
I believe in the next one we have, the first reading 9320, brings up about that particular, actually it's the third one here, that you during a meeting like this, you can call in with a cell phone. So, no, that's acceptable.
Member Larson?
Well, I realize that that you can call in with a cell phone, and that's a good criteria, but also indicates emails and texting and everything becomes a public document when you're on the board. So I guess the question is, does this all pertain to somebody that is calling in the public document and the whole nine yards?
Members of the committee, would you like to respond?
Mr. Larson, I don't know what we could do about that for someone who is on telephonically. We would have no knowledge of what was going on there. I would say that there's no way to enforce this, but I would say that it's a possibly a good way to make sure that, you know, we're being ethical and the public would know that that's part of our code of ethics.
Just one more.
Mr. President.
The reason I bring this up, it talks about in the following policies that the emails and texts during a meeting would become a public document. Since I'm attending the meeting telephonically, I assume that policy would also indicate those that call in telephonically and are actually at the meeting only telephonically.
Members of the committee?
Yes, Mr. Larson, if, say, Joe Schmo called in on their cell phone to testify, the record, of course, that we would be able to enforce is what is actually said at this meeting. I don't think we can go and ask for their records, and that would end when they turn the phone off to quit testifying. Does that make sense to everybody?
What I'm talking about, I apologize, is a board member that's calling in like I am right now. The policy says that any text messages or emails during the board meeting will become public documents. I assume that would be a board member calling in also.
I will have to say that that probably didn't come into our minds when we were crafting this. We could probably add something to this. Otherwise, it would be just that it's as it stands that we should not be emailing or texting while we are doing board business in a board meeting.
Member Cordero.
I wasn't here at the meeting when this was being discussed during a work session, but I do have to say that the first document presented on the board conduct, the changes contradict the language of the second document that was presented. Because in one, you're saying you may not do it, you have to turn off your device, otherwise you may be censured by the board. On the other document says, if you use it, it's an open document. So it's contradicting. Either you turn it off or you don't turn it off, or turn it off. And first of all, our board conduct specifically says, and I will quote, individual board members owe an obligation to the district and to the public to conform their conduct to all applicable legal and ethical standards. Technology changes every day. I think this is a generational issue. I know that some of you are not comfortable with technology, but there are legitimate uses for smartphones and tablets that have nothing to do with violating our ethical conduct standards. I believe that there are many actual uses. I've seen people taking notes. I know that Mike Gutierrez, when he was in the Anchorage Assembly, used to update his Twitter all the time to let the public know what was happening. Because not everyone listens to the radio, not everyone is able to attend meetings, and people of younger generations use social media to get their news and to get their feeds. And I'm sorry, but I realize that some of you may have an agenda, probably political, but I think it's absurd. I think if all of us are bound to conduct in legal and ethical standards, that's already part of it.
Are there any additional questions for members of the board? Member Lacey?
With all due respect to Member Cordero, I do have an agenda. Cell phones are annoying. There's no need for them in a board meeting. If they need to be used as a calendar, then you have a computer. If you feel a need to Twitter to the general public, we have recesses for that. According to Member Gaddis, if you have a cell phone go off in a meeting with Don Young, he almost takes your head off. My point being is we don't need those in here. The only people that should have a cell phone are Mr. Forrest, Mr. Stone, and the superintendent. We don't have the governor, and we certainly don't have the president in here. So that's enough.
Member Cordero.
Mr. President, again, I said that there are legitimate uses for smartphones and tablets that have nothing to do with cellular telephony or communications. I take my notes on my tablet. In fact, my tablet, my phone, is probably better than the laptop. Let me remind the board members that I was the first board member to go paperless at these meetings, and I encouraged the board and the administration to find a way to allow us to do paperless. I'm not saying that I'm tweeting or doing what Mr. Michael Gutierrez did at the assembly. And I don't need to point out that there are board members that use their break to get their talking points from special interests, and then they're verbatim come back to the meeting and repeat them. I think that's more unethical than using a cell phone to take your notes.
Can you turn off the mic, please? Member Pauger.
I think we should only be having this discussion if we had a problem with cell phones. I don't believe there's a problem with cell phones. I have a cell phone. I have it actually turned on. I have a staff member from my work who's in labor. I'd like to know when she has her baby, and I'll look at that on the break. I don't think we have to do away with cell phones. I think that if we want to list out all of the things that people can't do when you're up here, we need to list out, oh, you can't sleep when you're up here. Oh, please don't chew gum, because that's you know, that's annoying to people. If we're going to start adding things to this list is going to be a million miles long. I think we should keep, number one, a board member formal censure by the board. In particular, a board member may be subject to censure for the following types of conduct. And A is a violation of the district board member's code of ethics. I think if you're sending emails and checking things like that during your meeting, you're not being ethical. I think we can just keep it at the ethics of the board and trust that people on the board will follow the ethics.
Any other questions for members of the board? Member Welton.
I just want to say that we actually are supposed to do this discussion at the next meeting, and then the public will weigh in more maybe by that time, and we'll be able to fully look at what the issues are. I know it's a heated thing, but it was was brought up because of changes in our technology, and that's why it's here. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of the committee? Okay, seeing none, I believe we're down to C, 12-136, first reading, BP 9320, meetings. And would a member of the committee like to talk about this? Member Lacey.
Yes, this is another, had to do with the electronic boardroom. Emailing or texting from a computer during the electronic device, whether personal or school district owned during a meeting, should be available to the public through the Freedom of Information Act. All of these correspondents should follow the Alaska Open Meetings Laws.
Any questions of the committee? Member Powder.
If we're going to want to make our conversations on our electronic devices open to the Open Meeting Law and Act during meetings, I think we should report all of our conversations when we're on break to the Open Meetings Act also.
Member Larson, any questions?
This is a policy I was talking about. If I'm on the board on a call-in, does this pertain to a call-in member?
Committee members, would you like to respond?
No, it does not.
Questions, Member Larson?
Then it should state so.
I'm willing to make that change.
Any additional questions of the committee on this item? Seeing none, let's move on to the next. That is D, 12-137, first reading, BP 9321, executive session. Would a member of the committee like to speak on this item?
Yes, I will. You'll have to excuse me. The computer that I have is obviously slow. Or I don't know how to use it, one of the two here. Hang on. Here we go. It'd probably be easier to use that, Mr. Cordero. Yes, here we go. 12. Electronic devices will be turned off during the executive sessions, with the exception of a board member using a cellular to attend the meeting. The phone transcripts will be kept confidential. Now, maybe a lot of you don't know, but phone companies keep transcripts of cellular messages. I know this for a fact because the police do it, and I've worked for the police over the years, so this is why we put this on there.
Member Gaddis.
I guess I'm kind of stuck on, I'm confused on the cellular messages and transcripts, and I guess for starters, what is a phone transcript in this regards? Oh, sorry.
A phone transcript is when you use a phone, it's recorded somewhere, probably at the phone company. And you could ask for that. Look, I guess what I'm pointing out here is if we're going to be in executive session, what we say needs to be confidential. And with a phone out there, we need to keep those conversations confidential.
Sorry, this is not, you know, I guess I am almost speechless. It doesn't happen often. Because if it's confidential, it's confidential being recorded by a tape recorder, being recorded by a video, I could just go on and list it on, including it's confidential for me not to tell somebody else. So, I mean, there's a lot of confidentiality. Why do we just get stuck on a cell phone? And I'm not sure what a phone transcript is. And, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, I'm at a board meeting right now. My phone is turned off. My husband's at Point McKenzie. He just called. I'm not answering it. I've never answered it here. But, you know, I mean, is his phone message now open to people as a phone transcript, probably saying he's done working? I mean, at what point do we invade people's privacy? This hasn't been a problem. Why are we making it and spending time making it a problem? I am confused.
Members of the committee?
First of all, it said electronic devices. That means everything. Okay? Now, at this juncture, are we is this recording what we're saying? No, it's not. It's not even plugged in. But cell phones, electronic devices can be used to record stuff. Now, barring how the open meetings law works, you didn't answer your husband, so therefore there was no conversation, was there? So that shouldn't even fall into this. I bring this up because cell phones are used to record things. How many of you knew that at a lot of those different meetings before we had things being recorded, that you were being recorded by that reporter from the Frontiersman? Did anybody know that? I knew that because I saw it. But my point being is we need to eliminate the impropriety or the look of impropriety that cell phones, i.e. electronic devices, are being used to communicate with outside sources. Everybody else in the countryside has not had a problem with this except for us. So I'll just leave it at that.
Member Gaddis.
You said that everybody else hasn't had a problem but for us. What is the problem?
The way I see it is, first of all, Member Welton here is pointing out that we shouldn't even be having this discussion until next meeting. So at that, Member Welton.
Usually the protocol is to bring it forward and to ask questions, and so the questions are technical questions that maybe we hadn't thought of. Great. But to get into the debate is for the next time when the public can weigh in first and then we can deliberate from what the public has to say and then work from there. Thank you.
I move to waive the rules so we can have a continue our discussion.
There's folks that are asking questions to try and understand, and that's part of what the first reading is for. Because you don't want them going into a second reading and having to vote on something. So, in any event, I have a question. Mr. Cordero, we don't have to waive the rules. I think okay, thank you. The question is, if you're via distance and you're trying to attend an executive session, can you only use a cell phone? Because what happens if you have a landline?
You can use any device as long as you keep it confidential during the executive session in this case.
Okay. And the only reason I'm asking is because it specifically says cellular. I'm on 9321.
Can I pipe in sometime too, sir?
Sorry, Member Larson. You have the floor.
I believe, and I'm not wrong, I don't know if I'm right or wrong here, but, and maybe the attorney can look at this, I don't believe it's public record unless the school district pays for the cell phone or the email account. Right now, down in the state that I'm in, there is a big controversy in the school district. The new superintendent of schools never made it into office because they used a school email account in another district for some sexually explicit emails, and they're using that against that individual, and they're not being hired into this school district. And the basis of that is it was a school district account and a school district computer they use those email accounts on. Now, we're talking about our personal cellular phones. I don't know if it would fall into public domain because it is our personal. It is not school district purchased cellular phones. Thank you.
Member Lacey.
I would like to have our attorney look these three over for open meetings law compliance and the like between now and the next meeting.
Member Gaddis.
I was going to ask, what I'm hearing is if you call in, then you're exempt from this, some of these rules, but if you're here at the table, then the rules apply. Why can we be held to ethics if we call in, but if we're here in front of people, we're certainly must be far less ethical in front of people? This seems crazy.
Members of the committee?
I don't understand how you say that when you call in, you're held to one standard, and when we're here in public, we're held to another. We're held to the same standard no matter where we're at. We were expected to perform our business as such.
Member Welton.
The questions about the this, why would it come about in the first place? And it's not because we're attacking any particular member or members. The situation is that we had the issue at the borough. The borough said, you know, we won't take it. And then the public went and said, you do need to do something about it. And so they brought it back, and they have no cell phone use at their meetings. And the reasons that we came up with this as the subcommittee was that we thought we should be in step with what's going on so that we don't end up in trouble. And, you know, as the borough tells us, we are the lesser board in the borough, and I don't want to do something that's going to get us into trouble with the borough. I also have I've done a poll, of course, people that I know, so you know, you can take it with a grain of salt, but there are people in the city of Wasilla, as far as the city council there. I've talked to people in just friends and others in the community, and they think we should have a policy, and that's why it was brought forth.
Thank you. Unless there's any more questions that would enhance the discussion as opposed to go over ground that's already been covered. My understanding that the committee, the two members of the committee, and once again, board procedure is if there's two that wish to have something on the agenda, we've done this in the past. So do both members of the committee still choose to move forward these items?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a yes. So these items will be on the docket next meeting for discussion and for a vote. So with that, let's move on.
Mr. President, you didn't let me add in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Member Larson.
The only thing I would like to add in is that my private phone, my cellular phone, is not subject to public domain, such as one of our past governors. All her email accounts and all her public phone accounts were pulled, but not her personal email or her personal cellular phone accounts were pulled. And I guess that's where I want the attorney to pipe in. I don't believe that we should have cell phone on during a meeting. I think that falls under the ethics. But I think that possibly the attorney should look at that and guide the board policy if we're going to look at this. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we're going to go to item E, 12-138, high school calendar. Dr. Perarmo.
Thank you, Mr. President. This item is being brought forward as a recommendation as a result of the teacher discussions related to the seven-period day and the work of the master schedule and the master scheduling task force. Administration believes that adopting this request honors a win-win solution recommended by teachers. And basically, what we're requesting is to change, if you will, or revert two professional development days that occur in our high schools in grades 9 through 12 back to academic class days. And this will recapture 2 days, if you will, of classroom time. This specific request came from high school teachers. To note, we do have probably about 7 or 8 different schedules in our school district. We've had makeup days where only high schools or only secondary schools went to class and elementary was off and vice versa, as well as we've had times in our community where only Palmer schools went to school and everyone else didn't, or vice versa. And those were due to just bad weather sometimes making up days. So we haven't received, in those instances, the community, we haven't received negative feedback in regard to having different calendars for elementary and secondary. And again, this is just a thought to recapture some instruction time for high school teachers in grades 9 through 12.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the board? Member Larson.
Just one quick question. I noticed on the calendar on elementary schools, they have 2 days for each quarter for parent conference. But has it always been traditional just to have 1 day for parent conference day per semester, I mean, for high school?
Through the president, Mr. Larson, that's a good question. I'd just like to let you know and the rest of the board that initially our district about 10 years ago started doing 2 days for parent conferences. About 5 years ago, it was narrowed down to 1 day. And the feedback from parents was that they didn't feel like they had the time to fit in their schedule. They liked having 2 days. It felt rushed under one. And at that point in time, the board added 2 days back for elementary and high school for parent conferences twice a year. So the first suggestion of maybe going 1 day, or we had it one time. However, it was changed as a result of community feedback.
But the high schools only have one parent conference day per semester. Is that correct?
Through the president, no, they have two. A lot of times they have an extended day. They are working the same hours. They'll have, say, from 7 in the morning sometimes till 8 at night, and then half a day the next day. So they are having 2 days or two work days of conferences, although it might fall on a day and a half. But it was just to accommodate parents and those especially that work during the day and or drive in from Anchorage.
But on the existing calendar that I'm looking at, there's only 1 day per semester for high school. And that day is October 26th and February 18th. There's not 2 days on the calendar for parent conference day. That's why I brought it up.
Actually, I think we'll double-check that, but that was an initial suggestion to afford 2 more days. But the discussion when we talked about conferences, they were left in there. And so I do see February 18th. On the calendar itself, if you notice, there are 2 days. And in the middle, they just missed that extra day. So if you look at the actual calendar itself, you'll see two highlighted. For the 17th and 18th, it says PC. And on October 25th and 26th on the actual calendar, they're darkened out. It was an editing error, I believe, in the middle section, and we'll get that fixed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for pointing it out.
Member Welton.
I just wanted to say it's the January 22nd and the May 10th are the 2 days that will be added back in. Is that correct?
Through the President, yes, Member Welton.
Any other questions of staff on this item? Seeing none, this will come up at our next meeting for action. This takes us down to item F. 12-139, resolution 12-017, idle free zone on district property. Staff or Dr. Paramo?
Mr. President, I'd like to defer that to Chief Business Officer, Mr. Ken Forrest, as well as Chris Remick, to give the board information. Chris Remick is our Director of Transportation.
Good evening. Early in the fall, we were approached by a citizen who indicated that actually he provided to the superintendent and Mr. Remick and myself quite a bit of information related to the health hazards associated with idling vehicles. We took that to heart, and I will turn it over to Mr. Remick, who will explain to you everything that's been done to prepare for the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest, Mr. President, School Board. Basically, it's just, as Mr. Forrest mentioned, we're just trying to clean up the air in the schools to improve the health of our students and staff, actually to protect the health of our students and staff and visitors to the schools. The exhaust from diesel and emissions from any vehicle idling is drawn right into the schools because the schools are negatively charged. They have an air handling system. When you open a door or window to allow a student in or some fresh air in, it'll pull in that exhaust. And we feel that has a negative impact on our students. If there's any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Mr. President.
Let's go with Member Larson, then Member Lacey.
Okay, thank you. I understand the concern, but I just don't see this working. I know there's teachers that will start their vehicles from their classrooms during mid-morning and mid-afternoon when it's 20, 30 below. There's visitors that will leave their vehicles on at 20, 30 below, similar to they do in Fairbanks where you pull up to a grocery store at 40 below and every car in the parking lot's running. I just don't know how we would enforce such a policy. And again, we went over the parking lot issue with the bumper stickers and the political sign as it is a public parking lot. And now we want to enforce this kind of a policy. I just don't know how that would work. Thank you.
Mr. Larson, what we have found, the research has shown, that when you post signs and you begin to make the public aware and the parents aware of the health hazards, it almost becomes a self-enforced behavior. And so what happens is people will make the exception, of course, for those extremely cold days, and the policy and the resolution takes that into account. But what happens is once people are aware of it, they start to understand the hazards that are associated with it. And we'll be posting information on the website associated with this policy. And the signs are a general reminder. In fact, they are going up more than just at school zones. You can see in many communities across the United States today at railroad crossings where the signs are posted and they remind people that they should turn their engines off while they're waiting for the trains to pass. So it really is just a matter of informing the public. And then once the public and the parents start to understand the hazard, then they start to self-enforce this and they start to just, you know, usually get into the correct behavior of turning the vehicles off. There is a federal law related to diesels, and by law, by federal statutes, diesel idle time is to except for extreme weather, is to be limited to 5 minutes and no more.
Member Lacey.
The biggest place I see this as a problem is going to be in high schools. And according to your thing, 500 feet from the front door pretty much is the entire parking lot of every building we have. Now, to that end, assistant principals or safety officers are going to have to enforce this. Another option would be is to have a $75 parking fee, with the idea to go and start putting in electrical outlets throughout the parking lot. So that's what I'm saying.
Member Gaddis.
I just have a question, and it pertains to the resolution for starters. Did we used to idle our buses and stuff a little bit longer, and are we using this in with a fuel conservation type program hand in hand? Oops, sorry.
At one point, I do believe before my time, buses were allowed to idle pretty much at will. There were some schools with the bus bumper up right tail to nose, and in those schools they shut the buses off. But First Student now has a policy they're not allowed to idle their buses according to the federal standard also more than 5 minutes at a time, with the exception of extreme weather. But we all know we've seen it doing more, and we're trying to track that better and help them. They do have some issues where it's just unwise to shut a bus off when it's 45 below.
I guess I just want to make a comment as a parent that has idled in the parking lot. As you go through and idle on through, it's hard to stop, start every 4 or 5 feet. And I hope that we, if we pass this resolution, that we're reasonable in how we handle this idling program, because I don't think there's any parent out there with the price of fuel right now. I'm cool with turning it off, but at the same time, as we go forward in the queue to pick up kids, it's on and off. I think that there is a certain where it becomes unreasonable. So, Dan.
Member Lacey.
I'd like to point out that we have gone and banned smoking at every installation that we own. And gasoline and diesel exhaust is as bad as cigarette smoke. So I think this is like a no-brainer.
Just a quick question. How does one define extreme weather? Is there a certain temperature? For example, Fairbanks would be extreme for weeks, if not months on end.
I haven't really thought to define extreme weather. I mean, we're talking, we have temperatures around 20 below and 100 mile an hour winds at Colony for days at a time also. I believe probably Mr. Forrest and I would be able to come up with something reasonable, though. And I agree with Member Gaddis also that, yeah, if you're queued in a line and the line is moving steadily, we wouldn't expect people to turn their engine on and off repeatedly.
Mr. President.
Member Larson.
Recess time, for instance, is regulated due to harsh weather. I think it's 10 below and wind and so forth and so on. So can you cue the recess time to extreme weather being the same?
We can certainly do that. I think that makes a lot of sense, Mr. Larson. We use the same policy that where the kids are supposed to be kept indoors when the weather is at that wind chill. It makes good sense.
I have to ask a question. So I'm going to pick somebody up or going to the school, and it's 20 above, and I'm idling, and somebody comes and knocks on the window and says, you have to turn your car off. And I say, the weather is extreme for me to turn it off. What happens?
Let's put it from a school district standpoint. The intent is to point out the hazards to the staff and the kids and to the individual sitting in the vehicle. And again, it's kind of self-policing. The one problem you have when you start posting signs, however, you will have some, for lack of a better term, zealots who will get out of their car and walk up to the next car and knock on the window and remind people. So it's not intended to cause conflict between parents or other adults. It is intended to remind everyone, as Mr. Lacey pointed out, of the health hazards of the exhaust from vehicles. And so it's not intended to prevent a confrontation opportunity. It's a, have you thought about what this does? And there's going to be people, let's be honest, who say, I'm sick, it's cold, I need my car to be warm.
Any other questions for members of the board to understand what this resolution is for? Seeing none, thank you very much. This takes us down to item G, 12-140, resolution 12-018, local business consideration. I believe this is being brought forward by one of our members. Member Gaddis.
Yes, I brought this forward kind of in light of our taxpayers that supported our new schools and our new school bonds, and I wanted to remind the school district that when we go out with RFPs to remind ourselves that we do want to support our local businesses. But with that in mind, I'd like to see by the next reading if I might get staff to help me with an amendment to remind the borough or include the borough when pertaining to capital projects, specifically our capital school district projects. So that was the intent with this resolution.
Member Lacey.
I don't normally agree with the Member Gaddis a lot, but I do agree on this one, but I do believe we have a board policy already on this particular matter. So we should look at our board policy, too.
Staff.
The borough actually does have a local preference policies and procedures in place already, and both the borough mayor and other members of the assembly did indicate that at several meetings, they wanted to make sure that in the bond process that local vendors were absolutely given consideration. So I think that's well in hand and is well underway.
Any other questions, Member Larson, on this resolution?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. This takes us down to item H, 12-141, new courses, career and technical. Dr. Perarmo.
Mr. President, I respectfully request that we address items 12-141 all the way through 12-147 simultaneously so that the board members may answer questions. These are all items pertaining to new curriculum and our curriculum cycle, which is to be board approved. I request to come to the podium Mr. Mike Vervolo, our Executive Director for Instruction. He has a team of folks who worked with him on this curriculum through the Curriculum Council and throughout the year. If they could be in queue, if you will, just in case there are questions that Mr. Vervolo cannot answer. That's Director of our Career and Technical Education, Mr. Ray DePriest. Our Curriculum Coordinator, Ms. Becky Huggins. Murphy. And another curriculum specialist, Ms. Susan Steele. If they could come up forward in case the board has questions so that we may expedite those questions quickly. But there is a plethora, as you can see, of new courses. Our courses, again, are brought forward by staff. Many of these were brought forward by teachers themselves, interests of parents for us to look into offering courses. You'll see electives as well as core courses. You'll see courses that used to be electives that we would like to use as core courses to cover some math and science classes. In addition, the review of the curriculum cycle keeps us on track to be on top of our game. And so without further ado, if you have any questions, H through M, we are ready and available to answer those.
Okay, so if it's all right with the board, we'll group these together for the purpose of discussion. If there's an individual item within here that you need a specific question on, please cite the item. But if it's all right with the board, I just very briefly, we'll just explain the motivation for bringing all of these courses forward.
There were just a lot of courses throughout the year that we had to get through, and they all came up at once. It was just getting the writing teams together and the different teachers to get signed off. So it was quite a process, and it happened all fall in one board meeting.
Any questions for members of the board regarding any of these items at this time? Member Larson?
The only one I have is the Air Force ROTC, the courses that are there. I assume It patterns after the Army ROTC also as core curriculum and used for exchange for math and so forth. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, Member Larson?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Member Powger?
I'm looking at the curriculum review cycle, and I seem to remember that health was up for curriculum review last year. Have we gotten kind of behind on our curriculum review schedule?
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have, and we are just updating them so that we can have them all in line and can keep up on them. So, yes, we are behind in that one.
I was also wondering, when we have our curriculum review, we include teachers, administrators, do we include public, do we include students? Who is on that curriculum review?
Teachers, public, and students. We have the review teams and the writing teams that are all part of that process.
Any other questions, members of the Board of Staff, on these items? Seeing none, they'll come forward at the next meeting for action. Thank you very much. Takes us down to item N, resolutions 12-149, resolution signaled lights at Cottonwood, Pioneer Peak, and Front Terrace. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to defer this to Mr. Ken Forrest, if he could come to the podium, in regard to the signaled lights at Cottonwood, Pioneer Peak, and Front Terrace Charter School. In addition, Mr. Don Carney, Assistant Director of Operations and Maintenance, will come forward as he has worked with the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Carney has been a member of the Transportation Advisory Board for how long?
A little over a year.
And so as a member of that board, he has attended all of the meetings. And he has been ably representing us, so I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Carney.
Thank you. Being a member of the board, you get a preview, so to speak, of things that are going on from DOT, Borough Roads, City Roads. It all is brought before the Transportation Advisory Board. What we noticed consistently was that all of these plans are made with little or no input from the school district. So I've been a voice for us in many ways on the board, and I've been more active with the Borough Roads Department, and they have recognized that. The DOT management has recognized that. We are now getting regular invites to DOT planning meetings and work sessions. I've been attending several of those. We felt that a resolution at this time on these three particular issues was timely and necessary to bring the point forward that there are things being overlooked and that we have something to contribute. They were very well received by the TAB, the Transportation Advisory Board, put forward the same resolutions that you see here, with the exceptions of the Pioneer Peak one, and the borough is doing some redesign on that, and then they'll present it again. They supported it wholeheartedly, and they agree that it's an oversight on DOT's part to not be including us. So there'll be a lot more of these as things move along. We're going to be more involved in the decision-making. An upcoming one is the Palmer new split highway that's coming into Palmer. That will affect the new school that we plan to put out in that area. So we've already been invited to that planning and session, and we're being very well received by DOT. So these resolutions are simply to give me a little more credibility, i.e. the board is behind and recognize the issue. It's not just me talking. So thank you.
If I might add, the other thing I would indicate with Mr. Carney's participation in this board, It has significantly enhanced, as he's indicated, the cooperation with the borough. An example of that was when we cooperatively worked together at the Cottonwood site in an effort to get the trees down in time. The district stepped up to help the borough, and the borough's taking the lead on getting the site improvements done for Cottonwood. So we really are working well with the borough and their project management staff on behalf of the students and the community of the Matthew Borough School District.
Any questions for members of the board? Member Lacey.
Yes, I'm looking at the one here for Fronteras and for the day school. Where exactly is the light going?
It's rather difficult to explain without having the drawing here, but basically the road is going to continue on the Sirte Meridian. It's going to continue on past Bogard and go all the way over to Thielen and Career Tech. And about, I'd say 800 yards or so in from Bogard, there's a T-plan already in the master plan to go into the up into the armory. And so we wanted to have an entrance into our property directly across from that. However, DOT is looking at several other options, even coming in from Selden or having some auxiliary plan of some kind coming off Bogard and or Tate. So there are several things in the wind right now, but basically what we wanted to make sure they understood, wherever we put it, we want a lighted intersection.
Mr. President.
Member Larson.
Now, the Fronteras one, I'm confused on where that is. That's not the existing Fronteras, is it?
It's the Bogard Road site, the new location for the Frontera School. It is going to be located on the same site as our new Matsu Day School. And so we'll have two schools in there, plus a ball field complex and so forth. So there's going to be some very heavy traffic, so we wanted to make sure there was a light.
Next question, if I could. The Pioneer Peak, you said, is an exception. Now, is Trunk Road going to be closed, the old Trunk Road, when the new Trunk Road opens?
The old Trunk Road is being cut up into pieces and sections taken out. There are several plans in the wind right now. DOT, after all of our discussions, has decided to leave the old Trunk Road stoplight in for at least another 2 years while they test traffic flow and see if it's going to work. But eventually we would like an entry in the north end of our property at the property line that would come back around off the new Trunk Road back around to the existing entrance to Pioneer Peak. That would give us two ways in and out of Pioneer Peak.
And on the Cottonwood, they've redesigned that road to where there will be a streetlight over by the industrial area. Is that correct? Is that where the streetlight's going to go?
The streetlight there is already in the next phase of the get my road straight. The Sirte Meridian. But it's not in this phase. But it's designed to go in exactly where our pad is, our existing pad that we put in our new parking lot redesign. But what we're trying to get them to do with this is to facilitate that access now, because when they complete this phase one, that intersection there at Palmer Wasilla and Sirte Meridian is going to make it even more difficult to get in and out of Cottonwood than it is now. So we're asking them to give us some relief by placing some type of a turning mechanism in for us now during this phase. We're not getting a lot of movement on that, lots of understanding, lots of sympathy, but not much forward movement.
Thank you. I appreciate the explanation. Thank you.
Member Lacey.
Back to the Fronteras and the day school and the Matsu Career and Tech and Thielen there. We need a light on the Selden Road. I don't know how many of you have almost been mashed by people coming out of there. I guess they either don't see turn signals or they're texting. But nonetheless, that needs a stoplight right there. And I think we should put that in the resolution at the same time. Thank you.
When we looked at this, we felt the same way. But they showed us in the design they are actually turning circles. And Selden will have a turning circle, as will the intersection of Bogard and the Bogard Road and the Seward Meridian will also have turn circles.
Is that the same as a roundabout? Okay. Any other questions from members of the board? Seeing none, these resolutions will come up at our next meeting or for action. With that, takes us down to item 11, future business. Is there any change of staff to what you have on the agenda?
No, Mr. President.
I had a future item if I could, please.
Member Larson?
I would like to, we have a brand new ROTC, Air Force ROTC coming into Wasilla. I was just wondering how that's going to happen. What's the timeline, how it's going to happen, how it's going to be advertised, and what's the expectation is going to be for a student attending that. I don't know if it's going to start right up this fall, for instance, and go right into full-fledged. I'd like some, I guess a staff report on that in our next meeting.
Okay. Anything else from staff?
Mr. President and Mr. Larson, we do have several new programs from the Cyber Centers, the Alaska Middle College, ROTC starting. There will be a briefing of the board, if you will, of those programs, pretty significant, one at the board retreat. And so I request that those items remain on the board retreat due to the timing and the extent of the conversations that would happen.
I'll withdraw my request. That's reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the board in terms of future items other than what's listed? Member Cordero.
I think Dr. Parama may have mentioned that this will cover it at the board retreat, but when we were visiting Big Lake, I think 2 years ago already, members of the community were talking about how it would make sense to utilize some of our school buildings to allow other community organizations to be in those buildings, and that would promote a more community investment in there and just simply community investment. I think Anchorage has one of their schools that is using that model. I would like us to just look at that and see if in the future we can have further conversations on how we can utilize that model in a way that promotes other agencies and businesses to move into the schools that may not be fully maybe at capacity, in other words. Thank you.
So we would want a review of our current policies regarding community use, facility use, that sort of thing, and then in line with what you're talking about.
I think it would be good if we look at what was mentioned by the community members at Big Lake, because they had specific examples, and I know Member Gaddis is looking at me puzzled. There are schools that, for example, house nonprofits as tenants. They actually pay their rent. Or businesses like a bank or some other business. And those businesses and those other agencies actually bring revenue to the schools, and they bring engagement to the schools. And so I just wanted to explore what's working, what's not working, and do we even want to go there? It's just for exploration.
Yes. Any other items from members of the board? Seeing none, this takes us down to persons to be heard in non-agenda items. And the guidelines still hold, and I'll review them very quickly one more time. Speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. Speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. Speaker's limits to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove the disruptive individuals and order the room clear if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designated to take the issue under advisement. Maximum 1 hour per meeting. Are there any individuals that are in the audience that would like to come forward, state their name for the record, and speak for 3 minutes on an item? Seeing none, this takes us down to correspondence, board committee reports. We already had a committee report on the policies. Are there any other committee reports that we may be missing? Seeing none, is there any correspondence that any board members would like to share? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 14, comments from school board and administration. Dr. Perromo?
Mr. Forrest? Mr. Stone? I don't have anything further to add either. Thank you.
Member Larson.
Thank you. I want to appreciate the tech people and Mr. Forrest people for getting me online. I'm using live stream and a phone on speakerphone, and it's working real well. But we were trying to get on meeting too, so I think there should be some sort of a better way to prep a board member to do this, because I'm a little bit tech impaired, I guess. But right now, this is the first time in my life I've ever used live stream, and it's a beautiful thing. I just want you to know that. And I appreciate the hard work on the boardroom. I was able to visit the boardroom before I left to look at it, and talk to the staff and some of the kids that were working in there. I think it's a fabulous job of what we can do as a school district with our young people doing work, similar to when they build portables and they did the boardroom. I'd like this kind of program to continue, and I'm sure Mr. DePriest and staff will assure that continues where our youth actually build things, actually can see the results. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Cordero.
I want to echo what Member Larson just said. Thank you to all the people that worked really hard on this. It's just amazing. I just saw it today for the first time, and I saw people working. I saw ladders in here, and they were still putting the last few details, and it's just amazing, and I'm very glad that students participated as well. Thank you.
Member Lacey.
Yes. It's a nice-looking facility and everything, but when we all leave here tonight, when we get to the end of that driveway, there's a no-smoking sign about being on campus. I love that. Great. But it is for people who drive little bitty cars like me. I have to pull all the way out into traffic. This is the third time I've mentioned it. I'd like the sign removed. Or someone needs to give me a bigger vehicle. Thank you.
It's a safety issue is what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Member Welton.
Yes, I'm losing my voice here. I appreciate all the work that went into creating this room and the vision. I believe that it's the vision that people had of what could be, and that's the same with all of our students. We need to keep a vision of what can be. Again, sorry I'm losing my voice tonight. I wanted to just commend everybody for the graduations. There were glitches, but for the most part, I think we did very well. I would suggest that after graduations next year, maybe we, as board members or maybe as staff, that we have a written evaluation or something that could be done to say, I went to such and such a graduation and I give it, you know, whatever, some kind of grade or something like that. So, and where improvements could be made and what were, you know, the highlights, just so that we will continue, because I went to many more this year than I'd gone the years before, and I got to see a lot of different things, and I think it was really great. And we do know how
to put together and pull off good things in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Pauser.
I am very happy with this boardroom. It's wonderful. I'm impressed with the work of the students, and they've made a great achievement here. It's a beautiful room. I want to encourage other board members and people in the audience to notice what your students are doing this summer. Students are still doing great things. There's summer reading programs at the libraries. There's community work service. There's community hikes planned, and our students are still continuing to do great things.
Thank you. Member Gaddis.
Yes, I too went to a lot of graduations, and from Glacier View, very small ones to very large ones, I think we did a fantastic job. I certainly was unaware, but I could tell that there was a theme that that our administration put through, and I could hear the same thing said over and over, that as they turned the page and read kind of how this graduation, what a graduation meant, I was pretty impressed. Granted, last year I was relatively critical on some of them. I couldn't be critical on any of them. We did a great job, and of course, year after year we'll get better and better, but we really did a great job this year, so I thank our administration for kind of the, clearly I could see that there was a theme or a how to put a graduation ceremony together going from school to school. So good job.
Thank you. Obviously, it's a very beautiful building, beautiful room. A lot of work went into it. It's nice to know that kids were involved in it, had a hand in it. But we are the second largest school district in the state of Alaska, and we were able to basically renovate a gym for meeting use. And again, you did a very good job. So appreciate that. Member Welton, maybe the evaluation concept for the graduation, we could talk at the retreat. So with that, I want to thank...
May I have another bite?
Yes.
I apologize for requesting this, but because it was noted that students did this work, you will notice that we have hired 38 students through the summer. It's actually through the ARRA money. The deadline for the expenditures of the ARRA money is September 30th. If it's not spent, it's sent back to the federal government. We audited all of our departments and came up with about $60,000. That $60,000 went forth to hire students who applied for a job, interviewed, had to turn in their paperwork, do resumes, and we are deep cleaning many of our elementary schools, the chairs, the desks, repainting walls. But again, all of this is done through grant funds, not operational funds, that we'd rather not return, if you will, to Washington, D.C. We're going to put 38 more students to work this summer, putting their time to good use and giving back to their schools and community. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, there is no executive session, so is there a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Cordero. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.